From a young age, we learn that our actions have consequences. Before we can even comprehend, we know that crying will bring us attention. We'll be fed or cuddled or changed. All perhaps good consequences to our actions. But as we grow older, we realize not all of our actions result in good consequences. If we touch the stove when it's on, we'll get burned. If we run faster than our little legs can handle, we'll fall. If we hit our brother or sister, we'll sit in a chair for 5 minutes, and if we do it again, perhaps we might be spanked, or worse, the dreaded wooden spoon. Growing up, my grandmother had a set of those large wooden utensils that you hang on the wall, a fork and a spoon, hanging in her kitchen. And when we were very young, our much older cousins would tell us stories about how the spoon got the crack in it. We would hear story after story about which cousin did what and how they got smacked so hard it caused the spoon to crack. We were, of course, too young to realize a crack that size would really have only happened by falling off the wall, which was the true story. But we were old enough to know that our actions have consequences, and so we were always very well behaved at Grandma's house. But one has to wonder about Cain, don't we? Certainly he must have been old enough to know that his actions would have consequences. But did he fully understand? Did he really know what he did to his brother? Did he understand the consequences of what that would do to his relationship with God? Something he seemed to be jealous of with his brother's relationship with God. Was he taught about right from wrong, this sinful life that he so easily fell into? For sin had only just crept into the world a chapter before this. And did his parents even fully understand? For surely they ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but maybe they were even still trying to wrap their heads around it all after having to leave the garden. Cain seems to overreact to these consequences, though, right? At least in our minds. He killed his brother and then lied to God about it. Of course, there were going to be consequences. His parents had to leave the garden for their sin and lies, and the ground cursed on top of it all. Surely, he must have heard the stories, unless they sheltered him a bit too much. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't realize the consequences to his action, and that he can't hide from God. Not behind fig leaves and trees, not behind lies and half-truths. And maybe this is where we can relate just a little bit to Cain. If the last 2 weeks or so have shown us anything, it's that we as humanity, as a nation, don't always understand that our actions have consequences. Or at least we don't always want to admit that our actions have consequences. Now, before going any further, I do really want to stress and make it clear that I do not believe, nor do I believe it's good theology to say that God punishes us with natural disasters, with hurricanes or forest fires or monsoons, but that as a result of the curse of the land, the ground, the broken world, sometimes these just happen. And sometimes, though, as humanity, we cause or allow them to be worse than they are with our actions. For example, the Montana and Western wildfires have doubled in the past 31 years, according to the University of Idaho and Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. And they believe it's due to human-made climate change, due to rising temperatures. It has created a drier climate. Firefighters have time and time again recorded now that they've noticed trees and forests that have never been susceptible to fire in the past are now drier and more prone. This is important to note since many trees in the western part of the U.S. are a bit susceptible to fire. In fact, many don't provide rebirth, seedlings to seed, unless there is a fire. But even these trees that aren't susceptible are becoming more and more prone. On top of it, the fires they are seeing are more intense. They're more intense than the one they've seen in the 1980s, and with no hope of this changing anytime soon, it means by 2020 and 2030, they'll just continue to intensify. And the warming effect not only caused droughts and the forest to be more dry, but every degree of warming, they say, also increases lightning strikes by 12%. Our actions have consequences. While it's not so easily tied together in a neat little bow like wildfires, the increased strength of hurricanes is also believed to be correlated to climate change. The warmer water temperatures make it easier for the storms to strengthen over time, especially as they get closer and closer to land. And this is something new. Harvey strengthened as it got closer and closer to land is something that we've never seen before. And not only do they get stronger, this results in larger and more intense and longer lasting storms. We see it now with Irma coming, a Category 5 storm that has continued to gain strength while pummeling the small islands with 185 mile per hour winds. And as of last night, they said still a Category 5 as it was going into Florida. Along with this, one of the strongest monsoons in South Asia destroyed parts of India, Nepal, and Bangladesh, and taking thousands of lives. This on top of the many droughts India faces during the other parts of the year, taking the environment from one extreme to the other and pushing it beyond sustainable living. And it's not just these storms, though. There are parts of Africa and the Middle East that have seen extreme heats, rises in their average temperatures, and long years of droughts causing severe famines. Parts of Texas are no longer able to sustain cattle ranches because it's too dry. And parts of the Gulf Coast are no longer able to do shrimping or catch oysters because of the rising of the water level is creating the salt and the fresh water to mix in ways that create unhealthy environments. And some companies are already researching, modifying, and marketing seeds and plants that are more drought tolerant as the temperature of the earth continues to rise with no end in sight. Now, our actions aid in this. The burning of coal and dirty fuels, cutting down trees, even just wasting food or waste in general. Our buildings not being energy efficient or the continued growth of the population. These all have consequences whether we want to admit it or not. For 97% of climate scientists, those whose whole life work is to study how the climate changes, believe that Earth is warming largely as a result to human activity. We are starting to see these consequences more and more. Yet like Cain, we cry out, "My punishment is too great to bear." And it's true. The consequences are greater than we can bear and are only bound to get worse and worse. For these actions also drive us away from God, cause us to be fugitives and wanderers. The ground around us cries out as well as opens its mouth for all the blood that has been poured out, all the lives taken, plant, animal, and human, all alike from our actions. We can't hide and we can't lie, as we've seen both in our Genesis reading, but also in the Psalm. Our psalmist tells us, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast." We can't escape God's presence, God's strong presence all around us in this beautiful and in some parts not so beautiful creation. God is there and hears the cries from the ground, from the land, from the fellow humans and creatures alike. Our actions have consequences, and like Cain, some are too much to bear. For some disconnect us from God, cause us to be distant rather than a close relationship, cause us to feel or be fugitives and wanderers, lying to ourselves, to others, to God, even while we are in God's presence, because we no longer recognize that we're in God's presence, no longer being led by God's right hand. Which is perhaps why God sent Christ into the world, recognizing that we really can't bear the consequences of our actions, of our sins. So Christ came to save us and redeem us, but not just us, the entire world, all of creation. This mess that we have made out of it, this second Adam, this one man, came to overcome sin and death caused by the original Adam, the first man, including the curse imposed on the earth. For God does say in Genesis, "Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam." But Christ has come to break the curse of Adam, the curse of Cain, the curse that we have yet to realize we sometimes continue to perpetuate. That we continue to overlook that our actions have consequences. That as Christ followers, we are called out of the curse. Free grace poured out upon us. But that we also are called to do our best from re-entering it. We are to repent from our sins and to live differently. No longer fugitives and wanderers, but as Christ followers. Living into this gift of grace that has freely been poured out upon us and upon creation. We are to be bearers of the light, not darkness, to be healers, not cause more destruction. Which means shining a light not just for humanity to be reconciled to God, but shine a light on all of creation to be reconciled and to provide ways of healing. The free gift of grace extends to all, the whole world. And so we are to live differently, recognizing the consequences and change our actions for life to flourish, for grace to flow abundantly, for renewal and redemption, allowing the ground, the soil, to no longer cry out, but perhaps, like we had proclaimed in our call to worship this morning, sing. Soil, sing. Sing wildflowers and mushrooms. Sing swirling grasses and wetlands. Life-giving microbes restoring the soil. Sing. As all creation is restored and reconciled and renewed through Jesus Christ our Lord, who pours out grace upon grace upon grace. Let us follow his lead. Let us make a way for all creation, for heaven and nature, to sing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let it be so. Amen.